Okay. All right, Jake, it looks like we are live on some places and about to be live on Instagram.
All right.
Connect streaming software. Sweet. And looks like we're live on Instagram now.
Wow.
So,
I feel like this is my first time
I
live
know.
on Instagram.
I know. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to the show. So, all right, Jake, it looks like we're live and I think we can see comments here.
Okay.
So when we're
Yes, I've got us now on the YouTubes.
awesome. So right now we are just getting started and we can come back and edit this part if we need to. But we're just
Right now
gonna.
we are
Oh, there
just
you go.
getting started.
Hey, shalom, y'all. DKL. So
All right.
oh,
So
just
yeah, I got some audio
very
check
good.
there.
Perfect. Perfect.
It's on a slight delay, so that's
Okay.
good or bad.
All right, so we'll start the show as we always do. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to another edition of Shabbat Lounge. This is Matt
And Jake here.
and Jake. What were you saying earlier? You asked me some question.
Oh yeah. Have you seen any good eclipses lately?
Actually, I just saw one.
Wow.
So
That seems to be the news of the day, doesn't it?
it does. The news of the last, I don't know, month.
Month. Yeah.
Maybe years. So people have been talking about this for a minute. So, yeah, the eclipse, it's been everywhere. So how was it for you?
Well, it was actually pretty neat. It was pretty cool. I don't like all the hype makes me like downplay the way it's gonna go, of course, but of course it was pretty amazing to see.
Yeah.
I hate the word totality now. I don't know about you. I've heard that so many
Just because you
times,
heard it so many times, yeah.
but I'm about tired of it. But
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to use it, you go ahead.
So did you travel a long ways to go see it?
I traveled to work
To work,
and then
yeah.
I walked outside for maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I was at work as well, and it was really cool, especially the moment when it got completely dark.
Right.
And it seemed like everything in it's one of those moments where the world kind of slows down and stops, which doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And the traffic on the road kind of died down. It just felt like everything kind of got quiet and you could hear.
Yeah, my mom was saying in Podunk, where she lives, it was odd because everybody and their brother was just out in the yard staring at the sky.
Yeah. Definitely a strange moment for sure. So, DKL said Cloud Cover and Tyler cleared up enough to see it pretty well. And be good broadcast says Shalom. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
But yeah,
Yep.
I hope that you got to enjoy it. You know, that I saw people saying things before the eclipse, like it was this spiritual thing. That and people travel all over the world trying to follow these eclipses, and people were saying things like, I looked at the eclipse and I saw the face of God, is what they said. And I'm like, huh? So I did not have an experience like that. I don't know if anyone else did, but I
Well,
certainly didn't.
I got a picture from a friend today that was Trump's outline as the moon and his hair as the sun around it. So it was
And I also saw a lot of memes of people playing Total Eclipse of the Heart.
right.
Yeah, and
Yeah, I've
they
had to
put
back away on that because it's like, of course everyone's gonna be saying that. So
yeah.
I'm not gonna stand out by saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, there are things that definitely have made me ponder, and tonight our topic is not the eclipse, but it leads into what we're talking about. But it led to lots of interesting conversations of what does the sign mean? You know, what why does it seem to be the Bible doesn't clearly give us a lot of scripture about an eclipse, about, you know, when you see the eclipse happen, count 10 days and then you know this happens. I mean, there's just
Not a lot of
that
prophecy
yeah.
based on it, right? Yeah, and I think one more comment on the whole eclipse thing, just the way that it was hyped and everything. And then like I was talking to you earlier, at work we have all we have is like the NASA channel, and You got Bill Nye, the fake science guy, there, and you got just a bunch of people standing in a field staring at the clouds because it was all cloud cover. And it was like, man, there it's like so it's become so idol worshipy. It's so sun worshipy, you know. It's something that's supposed to point to the creator and show how amazing he is and how amazing his creation is, that's supposed to speak of him, just turns into, you know, being twisted by the world to be worshiping the creation rather than the creator. So
Yeah, I think that's pretty much, unfortunately, what it is.
yeah.
And all of these people, you know, you don't see a lot of Bible believing professors of in you know of Christianity or Judaism or you know any kind of faith like that. You don't see them going around and traveling the world to watch the eclipse, I don't think. I haven't heard of people, especially and specifically in the Torah community, saying they made that trip, you know, to South Texas. Although, I am a little jealous of a guy down in Llano. He was like, "Yeah, you can come stay at my place, $1,200 a spot," and he sold it out. And I was like, "Man, that guy, that was smart." And people came from all over and gave him $1,200, but he had to put up and listen to them, I guess. So there, that's the drawback. But he left all the way to the bank. So, but there are a group of
Maybe he just
people,
didn't like you and he jacked up the price.
maybe, but there are a lot of people that I think it is like a religious experience for them, and unfortunately, it's people who don't have a relationship with him. That's who they're seeking this stuff out, and you know they have a desire to have some kind of a spiritual connection, but they just don't quite get it, and.
Yeah, you got the quote unquote God-shaped hole in the heart that people try to fill with other stuff, and
Yeah.
most of the time it's the creation or ourselves.
Yeah,
So.
yeah, yeah. We're pretty good at filling it with ourselves, that's for sure. So we don't need much help with that. But yeah, it's fascinating just kind of studying who was like into it. And the rest of us, you know, what is our response supposed to be? Well, I've been thinking about that a lot, and I honestly think we should be in awe and we should be like, wow, that was a cool thing you did.
Yeah.
And I think there's that response and a response to repentance and to pray for our world and to pray for everybody we know. We especially the people we know. If I just pray for the whole world, I don't know what that means, but if I pray for the people I know in the world, that's powerful.
Well, if everyone
And
prayed for the people they knew,
yeah,
we'd catch everybody,
everybody
right?
be prayed. Yeah,
Right.
be prayed. But yeah, I think there's definitely an argument to be made that we should be repentant. We should be acknowledging that he did this. And so, Jake, I'm going to ask you a question. You didn't know this was coming, so hopefully
Ooh,
you know an
perfect.
answer, or can come up with something. So, my thoughts on it are: do you think it's possible that the way many people treat the eclipse is it a form of blasphemy? Can it be?
I think it could be, yeah. I mean, if you're putting it above Yah, then I would call that blasphemous.
Well, and I also almost say it, you know, if we're not careful, we downplay it too much, and we play it off at, well, this science, this is what science does, and we take the part of Yah out of it, I think.
Yeah.
Instead of going, he did this, he made this. He, from the beginning of the earth, in the foundation at creation, he set this in place, which is like, whoa, what? You know, that's thinking ahead for sure. So were you going to read a comment we got there?
Yeah, so we got a comment here. Those who worship the army of the sky on the housetops, those who worship and swear by Yahweh and also swear by Malcolm from Zephaniah 1:5. And then 6, those who have turned back from following Yahweh and those who haven't sought Yahweh nor inquired after him. So yeah, it's the army of the sky.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's a good scripture. Thank you, DKL, for sharing that with us, because that's kind of what people did.
Yeah.
People all over, especially North America and Mexico, look in Canada, looking up at the sky. So, and there were so many theories, you know, all these people saying the world's coming and rapture's coming and all these things, and that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's coming in the next couple of days. Coming it's just a sign for like the next few days.
I guess
so, something's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. But do I believe, you know, there could be things coming? I think we all, you know, you'd be a fool to not look at this world and go, man, how much, you know, how much longer is he going to let this all happen?
Yeah, I think you could pick any event and say, oh, something's coming and something will come because something's always coming.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
So you say. Anyway.
But I think the person that says, oh, something bad's coming, they're probably right every time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's like if I, you know, if you watch traffic go by, something bad is coming. Yeah, yeah. You know, just the other day, I was driving down one of the major interstates, and I saw this guy. He was in a big hurry, and he went, you know, this is like three or four lanes of traffic, and he goes way over on the right-hand lane, and then something happened and he needed to move out of the way or something. And when he did, he didn't realize that this had a little bit of a curbing on it. And he hit that curb at like 70, 80 miles an hour. And I thought he almost went on two wheels and he swerved and went all crazy. And the tire, I almost thought he was about to roll off the rims.
Wow.
And he almost flipped that car going 70, 80 miles an hour. And I was just like, man, I was like, and I honestly thought this is probably a young person. I bet his heart is like pounding like crazy. But anyway,
yeah,
there's definitely plenty of craziness out there.
A lot of bad drivers out
there. So we started talking about the eclipse, but our real topic is what, Jake?
A revelation. And we're going to actually start in chapter 4 because we have a specific reason for doing that. And okay. It's because of different connections that are being made and things like that.
So we do have a question coming in from Be Good Broadcast. Is an eclipse ever mentioned in the Bible or any extra biblical books? Well, for sure, there are people who, you can get the software called Stellarium. Is that how you say it? Stellarium? Something like that?
I don't know.
And you can look that up, and it can tell you supposedly when all these celestial events have occurred. And many people say that Jonah, there was an eclipse as an example, but the Bible doesn't tell us that there was an eclipse, but there are some sources like that. And there are some references to there's definitely references to the sun going dark, but it's much longer periods of time usually.
Right. And I think the only place I've heard is like where it specifically mentions something that's like an eclipse is probably in the book of Enoch, but I wouldn't be able to give you an address on it, but that would be a place to look.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some scriptures in Amos that people talk about that say they reference an eclipse, but you know, but there is definitely, we know that one day the sun is going to go dark, and when it goes dark, it's not going to be 4 or 5 minutes, you know, cause that's the other thing. How fast was that eclipse? You know, can you imagine spending thousands and thousands of dollars and driving or flying clear across the world to watch something that happened and was over in, you know, 5 minutes? I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy to me. But anyway. So this person, Be Good Broadcast, is saying, not sure that it's from God. Yeah, and I think that's very, very, you know, that's possible. I have seen people talk about that, but I'd say we'll go back to Genesis tells us that the sun is a timepiece. It's part of the time clock. It's something that he put in place at the beginning. So do we understand what it means? I don't. But I do think that it's something he put in place because, you know, there's somebody that I watched on TikTok, and I don't like all the rest of his stuff, but he said if you took all the patterns of the eclipses and put them on the earth, it makes this beautiful geometric design. And, you know, that seems like very plausible of something that Yah would do.
Yeah, and, you know, people put signs to it like, well, it's crossed over a bunch of... Nineveh's, and it makes a tav if you, the last one in this one, crossing the U.S.
An X marks the spot.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So.
And there is historical evidence that says the New Madrid back, what was it, in the 1800s? Or it was after Eastman Kodak invented the, so because I think there's photographs of Missouri, but maybe in the 1900s, there was that big earthquake in Missouri that was on the New Madrid fault line, and that happened 90 days after after an eclipse. So, you know, I mean.
So it takes 90 days for the eclipse to set in.
Well, yeah, and it makes sense that, you know, because it's pretty conventional science that, you know, depending on how you believe about the sun and the moon and, the, you know, if the earth is round, if it's flat, but that the sun and moon do have an effect on the earth, and when they're pulling at the same time, at the same direction, that it can, you know, cause changes on the earth's crust.
Very crusty earth.
That's right. So I think that's plausible, and... You know, and it is interesting. I do believe that earthquakes are a sign.
Yeah.
Because it says. It
specifically says
it. It lays that out. And so we've seen some crazy earthquakes in place, diverse places. And, you know, there may be, you know, more earthquakes than they even report. And we know one day there's going to be some really big earthquakes.
Yeah.
And all of science says that, too.
So, yep, that's true.
Which is that's an interesting thing because that's where scripture and science both kind of meet up on that point. And
yeah,
and agree. Rare does that happen.
Yeah, and I think so. This is a good point too from a listener here. I've heard that as well. The things that we were mentioning, and you know, we've said that a lot of times. Hey, I've heard blah blah blah, and I've heard blah blah blah, and you know, there's so much stuff out there that. If you just said everything you heard or believed everything you heard, you'd be lost. And that's why more and more when we live in an age where truth is, well, where information is abundant, but truth is hard to find. That's why, you know, it's always scripture that we go back to for truth. So,
yeah. Amen. Yeah.
So we can speculate about whatever we want, but.
Yeah. 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 You can get real lost in the weeds on all that. So,
yeah.
So that's about, you know, all we wanted to do on that, but it just seems timely to talk about Revelation.
Right.
So Jake, we worked on this for a while. And so this is, if you go to Sabbath Lounge, we actually have a place where you can, look at this at the same time we are. So if you just Google sabbathlounge.com or if you just Google Sabbath Lounge, you should be able to find this site that you see here. So once you're at Sabbath Lounge, I'll give you a second to go there. But it's Yahushua.com is the same thing, but it also is Sabbath Lounge. We'll get you there, same place. So don't be alarmed if you see the name change at the top. So, but once you get there, you'll see home and these different tabs: Becoming Jacob, Teaching Series About Us.
Real quick, what's Becoming Jacob?
Well, for those of you that aren't here, I just recently wrote a book with a partnership with Deborah Publishing. And so she helped me with that. And so if you go to Becoming Jacob, that on the website, there's some different links and, you know, different things about the journey. And you can even purchase the book there. So, and it's about... a story that I wrote about my life and the people that came into my life that were either Jacob or Esau. So
it was very good also, well, I will say.
Thank you. And I'm also looking for people that might want to interview or talk about it. So if you know somebody, let me know or share this information with them. So, but once you get here, we have a series, a thing called Teaching Series. And under that, we have Revelation Study. And if you click that, it'll take you to this. And so, Jake, explain where we start. And
so usually we'll start at the beginning, but the way this is set up is you go down to Sabbath Lounge Studies, and it'll have each chapter in one of these windows, and you can pick that chapter that you want to take a look at. So we're going to start in chapter 4, the throne there.
And it's kind of organized graphically. So each one of these kind of has an icon or some kind of image that goes with
So
it.
chapter
And
5 probably deals with scrolls.
yeah. And kind of didn't do chapter 1, 2, and 3. Why, Jake?
Well, that wasn't really the point of what we were putting together. It was those are more kind of just jumping into what Revelation is and who's talking and who are the characters that are going to be addressed, and it deals with the different churches.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of outside of the scope of what we're trying to do with this, so.
Yeah, it's pretty much just the letters to the churches, and so it seems like the meat of Revelation really starts in chapter 4. And so it's pretty easy to go back and forth in here, and there's a drop down menu, and you can toggle between the different things here. So this is chapter 4 in Revelation is the throne room vision. And part of what got me interested in this is just seeing all the connections in Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is one of those books where to me it's pretty closely connected to Revelation. Some people definitely have some different viewpoints or maybe arguments against it, but we just want to kind of take a look at that. And what we're going to do is read some Revelation and then kind of toggle back and forth between the scriptures. So, Jake, you still going to stick with? I kind of wanted, should we do this one at a time?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, because it's kind of laid out like that. So, once again, if you just joined us, if you go to sabbathlounge.com and click on teaching series, you can find this Revelation study and you can look at it with us. All right.
All right.
You want to read it?
Sure. So, starting in chapter 4, verse 1,
Hang on.
after.
Should I make it bigger? So let's see. That's kind of tiny if you're looking at that on the screen.
Yeah.
So Jake, do control plus. I can't reach from the way I was. Yeah. Then see if that's a little better. Maybe hit her a couple more times. And that's probably
That's
better.
a little better.
Okay. All right. So there we go. So hopefully you can see that. All right, go
All
for it,
right.
Jake.
After these things, I saw a door standing open in heaven. I heard the first voice, like a trumpet, speaking to me. It said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this."
And by the way, all the scripture I used was the NOG. So not any particular reason, but it just because it's pretty fairly easy to read. And I like that they changed the
The
names and
names,
everything
yeah.
for you. So Revelation 4:1 corresponds with Ezekiel 1:1. So I want us to kind of examine it and go, how do they correlate? So Ezekiel 1:1 says, "On the 5th day of the 4th month in the 30th year, while I was living among the exiles in the Chebar River, the sky opened and I saw visions from Elohim."
So this would be both seeing visions, hearing voices,
Yeah. Okay.
living among the exiles. Well, this is John in Revelation when he
Yeah.
says, "I saw a door standing open in heaven."
And then Revelation 4:2, Jake.
So instantly I came under the Spirit's power. I saw a throne in heaven and someone was sitting on it.
And then this one had quite a few things that lined up with it. One of the interesting ones here is in Exodus. And so, by the way, this it's a great study to go through and kind of see how these correlate. And I encourage you to do this. Exodus 19:16 says, "On the morning of the 2nd day, there was thunder and lightning with heavy cloud over the mountain, and a very loud blast from a ram's horn was heard. All the people in camp shook with fear." And I think even that has maybe even a little bit of a tie back to this, where you hear a trumpet,
Yeah.
which, is it the same as the ram's horn here? Is this a silver trumpet? I don't know.
Or is it a
Or
shofar?
is it a shofar? Yeah. And then, Jake, why don't you read that one?
So Ezekiel 1:25-28, a voice came from above the dome over their heads as they stood still with their wings lowered. Above the dome, over their heads, was something that looked like a throne made of sapphire. On the throne was a figure that looked like a human. Then I saw what he looked like from the waist up. He looked like glowing bronze, with fire all around it. From the waist down, he looked like fire. A bright light surrounded him. The brightness all around him looked like a rainbow in the clouds. It was like Yahweh's glory. When I saw it, I immediately bowed down, and I heard someone speaking.
So you got a throne, you got somebody speaking, you got somebody sitting on it. But Ezekiel gives us more details of what that looks like. And I think it's interesting how so many times in Ezekiel and Revelation, their descriptions and their words, they're lining up talking about the same kind of, using a lot of the same kind of words and describing it the same way.
That's right. So you have this figure sitting on a throne.
Yep. And then 1 Kings 22:19, Micah, is that Micah?
Micaiah
added, "Then hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne, and the entire army of heaven was standing near him on his right and his left."
So does Yahweh have a body?
According to this, it seems like there's something that represents a physical body or...
So he's not
spiritual
just a
body.
Wispy ghost thing?
I don't believe so.
Okay. No. There's a lot of argument about that. Like, oh, well, no, you can't see Yahweh. He's just invisible.
Well, you know, I think he can take any form he needs to.
That's probably true.
I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah. How do you take someone's image if they don't have an image?
Maybe that's, yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, and whatever image is probably a false image because you can't probably. Make one.
We're the image, right?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. We're made in the image, so yeah.
Okay, Psalm 11:4. Yahweh is in his holy temple. Yahweh's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, they examine Adam's descendants. Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So
So he has eyes too.
That's right. And he's always looking. Isaiah 6:1, in the year of King Uzzah died, I saw Adonai sitting on a high and lofty throne. The bottom of his robe filled the temple. Which is an amazing image there, too, to think about.
Yeah, this always, go watch our episode on Scrooge, right? What did we call that one?
Don't be a Scrooge.
Don't be a Scrooge. That's it. So yeah, go check that out because this always gives me the picture of, remember the one ghost in the Christmas story where he's like kind of a big kingly guy and he's like got a huge robe and he's eating all the things. I think that's probably in the one of the animated versions, but
maybe so. That would be what I would expect you to watch.
That's kind of what I think of, I guess.
Yeah.
Some ripoff of this.
Mm-hmm.
Some pagan evil ripoff of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Daniel 7:9.
I watched until thrones were set up, and the ancient one, who has lived for endless years, sat down. His clothes were as white as snow, and the hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire.
Interesting, isn't it? Because we think, just first, the thing that jumps off to me there is the wheel thing. And we think of the wheel thing being with Ezekiel, but Daniel references wheels here as well. So definitely.
It's funny that the wheels are on the chair. It's like the first wheelchair.
Maybe so. First wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. See, he's a wheelchair guy.
Or hoverboard.
Maybe.
But I guess a hoverboard doesn't have wheels. But anyway.
For when you land.
That's right. All right, so are you doing anything else there, Jake?
No, it's pretty interesting how it lines up, though. You got the throne and Ezekiel and Kings talking about Yahweh sitting on a throne. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and where
it looks like there's... Oh, okay, we read those.
Yeah, where I started with this is I took an interlinear Bible that I had, and I chased down everything that it had from those scriptures. Then I looked online, what other people said, and I didn't chase down all the revelation within Revelation, because when you start looking at these scriptures, a lot of times you'll see other references in Revelation. I put some of those in there, but I didn't chase all those.
Yeah, it would get pretty mazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mean the corn.
No, not the corn, or the band.
Is mazy a? Oh, I see where you're going.
Yep. All right, so Jake, read Revelation 4:3.
All right, the one sitting there looked like gray quartz and red quartz. There was a rainbow around the throne, which looked like an emerald. Yeah, oh. So we heard that in a previous one, too, the whole rainbow look.
That's right, and the original rainbow.
That's right. Probably the correct one, yes.
And also, don't you think this is that Wizard of Oz probably borrowed heavily from some of this?
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. And so let's look at Exodus 24:10. They saw Elohim of Israel, under his feet was something like pavement made of sapphire, as clear and blue as the sky itself, which definitely is something, that's something I want to see.
Does it sound like a firmament to you?
It does, kind of like that. And we didn't even point that out, but the scripture before, it talked about the dome.
Yeah.
The dome above
their
heads.
Yeah, how did we miss that?
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Ezekiel there.
Yeah.
Voice came from above the dome.
Yeah, pretty interesting. So then, all right, and then Exodus there.
All right. So this is Exodus 28:17-20. Fasten four rows of precious stones on it. In the first row, put red quartz, topaz, and emerald. In the second row, put turquoise, sapphire, and crystal. In the third row, put jacinth, agate, and amethyst. In the fourth row, put beryl, onyx, and gray quartz. Mount them in gold settings. So what's this talking about, Matt?
So you've got some of the same stones used here, too, but I would say this is actually where I started, you know, looking at the ephod, the priestly ephod is what it's describing. I guess that's really your question.
Right.
And when I read that with Torah understanding after I'd gone through it a while, you know, I was like, wait a minute.
It sounds just like
I've seen this before. And, you know, and it's the layers, it's the all the same stuff you see in Revelation. And we will see this again in more detail of laying out the different different elements, and they use these same stones.
Right.
So definitely a connection there we're supposed to understand. And then Ezekiel 1:26 says, above the dome over their heads was something that looked like a throne made of sapphire. On the throne was a figure that looked like a human. So there is some redundancy in some of these, but
yep. And then Ezekiel 1:28, the brightness all around him looked like a rainbow in the clouds. It was like Yahweh's glory. When I saw it, I immediately bowed down and heard someone speaking.
And then Ezekiel 28:13, you were in Eden, Elohim's garden. You were covered with every kind of precious stone, red quartz, topaz, crystal, beryl, onyx, gray quartz, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald. Your settings and your sockets were made of gold when you were created.
So we had an interesting discussion on this when it came up in the Haftarah during the Torah portions that we were reading. And it seemed as though, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, check context in that chapter to check me. But I believe he's talking about a specific king there, but he's essentially comparing him to Satan. And
yes,
we kind of came away with an understanding of perhaps he's talking about this king being indwelt by Satan in the way he acts and the way he does things, almost possessed by Satan. And hence his explanation to him as if he is Satan.
Because
he's kind of speaking, it's the, you know,
king
get behind me, Satan. Yes,
king
that's
of Tyre.
It. Mm-hmm. It's the get behind me, Satan thing. It's the you are of your son or of your father, the devil, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
Kind of a reference here.
Because it describes Satan as having this almost like a coat of many color thing that he had on, but you know that he had this covering on him.
Yeah, and some people disagree with that take on it, but I think, and you know, I'm not sure. It doesn't specifically say that's what it's talking about, but But that was the impression I got when I read through it.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I've always thought. So I hope that as we go through this, you're seeing just some interesting connections in scripture that maybe you didn't see before.
Because initially, Satan was a heavenly host.
Right. So yeah.
The most beautiful of all the angels, right?
In charge of like worship.
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother thing to look at. Yep. All right, let's go on to Revelation 4:4.
So around that throne were 24 other thrones, and on these thrones sat 24 leaders wearing white clothes. They had gold crowns on their heads.
And then Yeshua says something similar, Matthew 19:28. He said to them, I can guarantee you this truth. When the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne in the world to come, you, my followers, will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So 24?
Matt, who's he talking to when he says this in Matthew 28?
I do not recall exactly who specifically.
So he's talking to the 12 disciples, right?
Right.
And he says, you 12, and who are the 12?
Oh, Judas is in this group.
Yeah, so go check out our Judas, is Judas saved thing, because he's telling the 12 that are standing with him right now, you 12 will be sitting on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah, he didn't go, except for you.
He did not say that. Now, you have to listen to the whole study because there's more to it than that, but definitely an interesting plot point.
Okay. All right. And then, so yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, I guess I'm up. Exodus 19:16.
Well, no, we need to read the scripture. So,
that was the only one. Okay.
Some are short.
Gotcha.
And this list probably could be more extensive than what is this one is a long one. So that's why I kind of think it is almost better to look at them one at a time, just because there's so many scriptures that go with it.
Easy to get lost.
Revelation 4:5, go.
Lightning, noise, and thunder came from the throne. Seven flaming torches were burning in front of the throne. These are the seven spirits of Elohim.
Seven spirits. Okay, so let's go see what else says something like this. It's a lot.
Yeah, and as we read those verses, some stuff's probably popping in your head too, like, that sounds like something or other. Like immediately, I think of Mount Sinai when I read that verse.
Yeah.
So,
well, here we go.
We might just get right there.
Exodus 19:16 says, on the morning of the second day, there was thunder and lightning with a heavy cloud over the mountain, and a very loud blast from a ram's horn was heard. All the people in the camp shook with fear.
Indeed. In Exodus 24:10, they saw the Elohim of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made out of sapphire as clear and blue as the sky itself.
And we definitely have seen that before. Like I said, there are going to be some redundancies, but I don't know about you, but sometimes some of this stuff I have to see more than once before it kind of sinks in.
Yeah, I want to check that one. That one sounded too familiar. 24:10.
So, and then I'll go on while you do that.
Yeah, it certainly says that. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you were surprised by something.
Yeah.
Zechariah 4.
I don't know everything, Matt.
No. Zechariah 4:2, he asked me, what do you see? I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl on top of it and seven lamps on it. There are seven spouts for each lamp that is on top of it.
Well, there you go, the lamps and the seven of them.
Mm-hmm. Seems biblical.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, isn't that right, Be Good Broadcast? The Bible is nothing if not a little redundant, certainly. So then Zechariah 4:6, then he replied, this is the word Yahweh spoke to Zerubbabel. You won't succeed by might or by power, but by my Ruach, says Yahweh Sabaoth. So that's Yahweh of hosts.
And then Isaiah 6, 1 through 13, and the king, in the year King Uzzah died, I saw Adonai sitting high and lofty on a high and lofty throne. The bottom of his robe filled the temple. Angels were standing above him. Each had six wings. With two that covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They called to each other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh Tessaboth. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook at the foundations of the doorposts and the temple filled with smoke. So I said, "Oh no, I'm doomed. Every word that passes through my lips is sinful. I live among people with sinful lips." Ain't that the truth? "I have seen Melech, Yahweh Tessaboth." Then one of the angels flew to me, and his hand was a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "This has touched your lips. Your guilt has been taken away, and your sin has been forgiven." Then I heard the voice of Adonai saying, "Whom will I send? Whom will go for us?" I said, "Here I am. Send me." Then he said, "Amen. Go tell these people," huh?
I said, "Amen."
Yep. He said, "Go tell these people, no matter how closely you listen, you'll never understand. No matter how closely you look, you'll never see. Make these people close-minded. Plug their ears, shut their eyes. Otherwise, they may see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their minds, and return and be healed." I asked, "How long, Adonai?" And he replied, "Until the cities lie in ruins with no one living in them. The houses have no people, and the land is completely desolate. Yahweh will send his people far away, and a very large area in the middle of the land will be abandoned. Even if 1 out of 10 people is left in it, the land will be burned again. When a sacred oak or oak is cut down, a stump is left. The holy seed will be the land's stump." There's a lot. There's a lot in there. You know, this last part, I thought of Abraham, in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, where he's bargaining how many people are left that are righteous. Yeah. I think that's a reference to something like that.
Right.
And then there was something else there. I don't know if you noticed if there was anything else stand out.
There's a whole lot there. So the burning coal is interesting. You've said that you've heard that this happened to Moses, maybe?
When he was a baby. Maybe in Jasher or Enoch, it refers to something like that.
Yeah. And then go ahead and scroll down a little bit. This is real interesting here. This verse is, 9 through, "No matter how closely you listen, you'll never understand. No matter how close you look." Because he's saying, because this is why it's interesting, because Yeshua says the exact same thing to the Pharisees.
He says something like this in parables.
Parables. Yes. Right.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He says, they go, "Why do you speak in parables?" He goes, "So that they will not hear unless they repent." So they won't understand. Because if they did, they might repent and be saved. And he's saying, this is not for them to understand. And it's almost the exact same thing he's talking about here. This nation will not hear what you're saying. Because if they did, they would repent and be saved. And he's saying, but I'm not going to allow that.
Yeah.
So
that's a head scratcher.
It is. So I think this is one of those things where you have to, at least for me, from this, I come to the conclusion, well, there is free will. However, there's also Yah's sovereignty, and he can overcome that with his will. In times that he deems necessary. It's the Romans 9 pot for special purpose. For his reasons, he does things that he knows. He's a righteous judge, so we can trust when he does something like this that it's you know, the right maneuver for his plan to come together. However, it definitely is a head-scratcher because there's people on either side of those camps. Well, we have free will, so we can do whatever we want. And then there's the, well, we're predestined, so we can't, you know, we're all only robots, you know, controlled by Yah. So it's obviously something in the middle, you know, we see evidences of both things. So it's something in the middle. So try not to get like stuck in the camps of either or, because Yah is oftentimes a both and kind of situation.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, there's quite a bit in there. So you know, that one is a pretty long one, but you almost were like, what was the scripture again? So
yeah, lightning,
noise, and thunder. Yeah. So seven spirits of God.
All right, Ezekiel 1:5 there.
There we go.
In the center of the cloud, I saw what looked like four living creatures. They were shaped like humans. Wee wee.
And then Ezekiel 1:10 says their faces look like this. From the front, each creature had a face of a human. From the right, each one had the face of a lion. From the left, each one had the face of a bull. And from the back, each one had the face of an eagle. And then Ezekiel 1:13, the living creatures look like burning coals and torches. Fire moved back and forth between the living creatures. The fire was bright, and lightning came out of the fire.
Wow. Can you imagine?
That's crazy.
And then 1:22, still in Ezekiel, something like a dome was spread over the heads of the living creatures. It looked like dazzling crystal.
Which seems to fit with what we saw earlier with the... with the sapphire crystal, you know, I don't know. It's the same thing. Or
it's
different?
The it's a clear dome, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, firmament.
Yeah. And then Ezekiel 1, on the fifth day of the fourth month in the 13th year, while I was living among the exiles on the Shebar River, the sky opened and I saw visions from Elohim. On the fifth day of the month, during the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, Yahweh spoke his word to the priest Ezekiel, son of Buzai, in Babylon by the Shebar River. The power of Yahweh came over Ezekiel. As I looked, I saw a storm coming from the north. There was an immense cloud with flashing lightning surrounded by bright light. The middle of the lightning looked like glowing metal. Mm. In the center of the cloud, I saw what looked like four living creatures. They were shaped like humans, but each one of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of calves, and they glittered like polished bronze. They had human hands under their wings. On each of their four sides. All four of them had faces and wings. Their wings touched each other. The creatures went straight ahead, and they did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. From the front, the creature had the face of a human. From the right, it had the face of the lion. From the left, it had the face of the bull. And from the back, it had the face of an eagle. That is what their faces looked like. Their wings were spread out, pointing upward. Each creature had two wings, which they touched each other. The two wings covered their bodies. Let me scroll up. Each of the creatures went straight ahead. They went wherever their spirit wanted to go, and they didn't turn as they moved. The living creatures looked like burning coals and torches. Fire moved back and forth between the living creatures. The fire was bright. The lightning came out of the fire. The living creatures ran back and forth like lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel in the ground beside each of them. This is how the wheels looked and how they were made. They looked like a barrel. All four wheels looked the same. They looked like a wheel within a wheel. Whenever they moved, they moved in any of the four directions without turning as they moved.
Oh, man.
The rims of the wheels were large. They had big rims. And frightening.
Spinners.
Yes. They were covered with eyes. All right, you read some.
When the living creatures moved, the wheels moved with them. When the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, the creatures went. The wheels rose with them because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Ooh. So whenever the creatures moved, the wheels moved. Whenever the creatures stood still, the wheels stood still. And whenever the creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose with them because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Repeat that?
Yeah.
Well, what we just said, right? It's nothing if not repetitive. Okay. Yeah. Something like a dome was spread over the heads of the living creatures. It looked like dazzling crystal. Under the dome, each creature had two wings that were stretched out. So this looks like it's saying kind of the same thing. Stretched out, touching one another. Each creature had two wings that covered its body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings. The sound was like the noise of rushing water, like the thunder of Shaddai, like the commotion in an army camp. When the creatures stood still, they lowered their wings. A voice came from above the dome, over their heads, as they stood still with their wings lowered. Above the dome, over their heads, was something that looked like a throne made of sapphire. On the throne was a figure that looked like a human. When I saw that he looked like from the waist up, he looked like glowing bronze with all fire all around it. From the waist down, he looked like fire. A bright light surrounded him. The brightness all around him looked like a rainbow in the clouds. It was like Yahweh's Glory, when I saw it, I immediately bowed down and I heard someone speaking. Yeah, that's a craziness there.
That's a lot to unpack. And it all came from, you know, the original source there is Revelation 4 or 5 with lightning, noise, and thunder. And so you flaming definitely torches. you see elements of this in the seven spirits, definitely in all this.
Yeah, so the description of the wheels looks like, to me, it's like the round casters. You don't see all the wheel in it, or it's like wheels that are like kind of wheels that are together.
Oh, yeah.
So when you move it whatever way,
yeah,
you know, it's like an ottoman.
That's kind
of a bunch of creatures riding an ottoman around. They were playing scooter pin soccer. If anyone's ever played that, that's what's going on.
Scooter pin soccer in this
vision.
Well, isn't it interesting that here, how similar Isaiah is?
Yeah.
Because as I was reading that, I was like, wait a minute, am I reading the same thing twice? But Isaiah talked about what they look like. Somewhere we read that, or we did read that.
Yeah,
twice.
It's in here, yeah.
Anyway, it's, like I said, there's a lot to unpack here, and I think that it's worth more than the time that that we will do on this evening. So, and once again, if you just joined us, you can find this on sabbathlounge.com. If you click on teaching series, we've got Revelation here, and we're just, this was, where we put all these scriptures together, trying to help you to see connections between different pieces of scripture. So this one's another long one, Jake.
So then the Ruach lifted me.
This is Ezekiel 11.
Yes.
11.
So then the Ruach lifted me and took me to the east gate of Yahweh's temple. It's the gate that faces east. 25 men were at the entrance of the gate. I saw among them Azur's son, Jaazaniah, and Benaiah's son, Peladiah. They were leaders of the people. Then Yahweh said to me, "Son of man, these are the men who plan evil and give bad advice in this city. They say, 'It's almost time to rebuild homes. This city is a cooking pot, and we're the meat.' So prophesy against them. Prophesy, son of man." The Ruach Yahweh came to me and told me to say, "This is what Yahweh says. You are saying these things, nation of Israel, but I know what's going through your mind. You have killed many people in this city and have filled its streets with corpses. So this is what Adonai Yahweh says. The corpses that you put in the middle of the city are the meat, and the city is the cooking pot. I will force you out of the city. You are afraid of swords, so I will bring swords to attack you, declares Adonai Yahweh. I will force you out of the city. I will hand you over to foreigners, and I will punish you. You will die in battle. I will judge you at Israel's borders. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. The city will not be your cooking pot, and you will not be the meat in it. I will judge you at Israel's borders. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. You haven't lived by my laws, and you haven't obeyed my rules. You have followed the standards set by the nations around you. While I was prophesying, Benaiah's son, Peladiah, died. I immediately bowed down and cried out, 'Adonai Yahweh, will you completely destroy all the remaining people in Israel?' Yahweh's promise to gather Israel from the nations. Then Yahweh spoke his word to me. He said, 'Son of man, the people who live in Jerusalem are talking about your own relatives and about the entire nation of Israel. The people who live in Jerusalem say, they are far away from Yahweh. This land has been given to us as our property. So tell them, this is what Adonai Yahweh says. Although I sent them far away among the nations and scattered them among the countries, I have been their sanctuary for a little while among the countries where they've gone.'" Go ahead.
"So tell them, this is what Adonai Yahweh says. I will bring them together from the nations and gather them from the countries where I've scattered them. I will give them the land of Israel. They will come and remove the disgusting and detestable things that are done there. I will give them a single purpose and put a new spirit in them. I will remove their stubborn hearts and give them obedient hearts. Then they will live by my laws and obey my rules. They will be my people, and I will be their Elohim. But as for those whose minds are set on following detestable and disgusting idols, I will pay them back for what they've done, declares Adonai Yahweh." Which is scary.
Mm-hmm.
"The glory of Yah leaves Jerusalem." I guess that's the heading.
Oh, yes.
"Then the angels raised their wings with the wheels beside them. The glory of Elohim of Israel was above them. Yahweh's glory left the middle of the city and stopped above the mountain east of the city. In this vision from the Ruach, from Ruach Elohim, the Ruach lifted me and brought me to the exiles in Babylonia. Then the vision I saw left me. I told the exiles everything Yahweh had shown me. So I think, you know, it was a lot of verses probably to get to that, but that's definitely the connection, but definitely a fascinating piece of scripture.
Yeah, certainly. I like, if you go down a little ways, let's see. He kind of turns the tables on him about being considered meat in the cooking pot.
Mm-hmm.
Where he says, let's see, you haven't lived by my laws and haven't obeyed my rules. He doesn't say you couldn't. He says you didn't.
Yeah.
So we hear a lot that you couldn't.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. You couldn't keep the laws. They were there to show you how filthy you are.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people.
And
talk about that.
It wasn't that they couldn't keep them, it's that they refused to keep them.
Yeah, they absolutely refused. It's like they didn't even halfway try. So
yeah.
Is what it appears to be.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna pardon this camera shake, but I'm afraid that my phone might go dead here if I don't plug it in.
Don't worry, Matt. I'll take over.
Okay.
No. So then here in verse 20 there, it says, then they will live by my... Wait, I want to go 19. I will give them a single purpose and put a new spirit in them. So when does this happen? The new spirit that goes into them. That's the new covenant, right?
Language all over this. Yeah.
Yeah. I will remove their stubborn hearts and give them obedient hearts. The removal of the stone heart and the giving of the soft heart. That's a new covenant language. And I'll put my laws... They will live by my laws and obey my rules. So that's important. I'll give them an obedient heart, not just a new heart. Their new heart will be an obedient heart.
Do you think that's happened?
I think it's in the process.
Yeah.
I don't think this fully comes to...
I don't think we can look at the world today and see evidence that that has happened, but we're supposed to be... I do believe you're right. He wants us to be in process, just like he wanted them on Mount Sinai to be in the process of making their heart soft so he could ride on it.
Right. And then here he says, they will be my people and I will be their Elohim. That's covenant language there. Mm-hmm. So that's always like sealing these words as a promise, basically.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
Yeah, so interesting stuff in there.
A lot there, so...
So I've heard that the wheel in the sky keeps on turning, man.
It does. That's what I understand.
I believe that was Ezekiel, an Ezekiel quote, right?
Was it?
I think Ezekiel said that.
So,
or journey, I can't remember.
Yeah, I believe it was
journey. Maybe Ezekiel was on a journey.
He was on a journey, yeah. So we'll go on to Revelation 4:6.
We have confirmation from Be Good Broadcast at the resurrection.
That's right.
I'm with you there.
Amen.
All right, Revelation 4:6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of crazy. That's a lot of eyes. You know, I think that that's, you know, that's not light and fluffy and pretty.
No.
It's not every little girl's dream of, you know, something that... You know, might seem magical or... I know magic is bad, Jake, but...
That's right.
Sorry, I think I'm moving this camera. But when you see, you know, it sounds almost like a bug or an insect that you might pick up or something, you know?
Well, I watched a Mickey Mouse episode a long time ago as a kid that had... He was in the garden and he had shrunk and all the... Or all the garden vegetables grew big and all the bugs were big too. There's a potato in that episode that all the eyes were, you know, the eyes on a potato were actual eyes. Mm-hmm. It was creepy.
Hmm.
So yeah. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
This going on.
All right. So let's see other scriptures that might have some connection to this. And I'm not saying that this work is perfect that I put together here. So there could be some flaws. Exodus 19:16. On the morning of the second day, there was thunder and lightning with heavy cloud over the mountain, and a very loud blast from the ram's horn was heard. All the people of the camp shook with fear. And he asked me, "What do you see?" And I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl on top of it and seven lamps on it, and there are seven spouts for each lamp that's on top of it. So we definitely have seen that somewhere else here, just recently.
So then Ezekiel 1:5, in the center of the cloud, I saw what looked like four living creatures. They were shaped like humans. So you got four creatures. So are those four creatures these same four beasts?
I don't know. We'll see.
It's definitely interesting.
Ezekiel 1:10 says their faces look like this. From the front, each creature had the face of a human. From the right, each one had the face of a lion. From the left, each one had the face of a bull. And from the back, each one had the face of an eagle.
Right. So that makes me think this might be different creatures.
Could be.
Because these are full of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So these are typically when it's the four different faces, they're given they're called creatures. This in Revelation is called beasts.
Yeah.
Which generally is a negative kind of connotation to it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Ezekiel 1:18. The rims of the wheels were large and frightened. They were covered with... Oh, and frightening. The wheels weren't scared, Matt. They were covered with eyes. Eyes all over the wheels.
Okay, so to answer your question...
Okay, go ahead.
I think you got to go look at 4:7. So let's look at 4:7. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like a young bull. The third had a face of a human. And the fourth was like a flying eagle.
There's your answer.
So that seems to be what we see there in Ezekiel.
Yeah.
So anyway, did you finish what you were saying about the rims?
Yes.
Okay. And then Ezekiel 1:22. Well, hang on, before we started, I told you this was kind of extensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a light thing. Ezekiel 1:22, something like a dome was spread out over the heads of the living creatures. It looked like dazzling crystal.
Go ahead.
Ezekiel 10:20, these were the living creatures I had seen beneath the Yah of Israel by the Kibar River, and then I realized they were cherubim.
Interesting. Isaiah 6:2, angels were standing above him. Each had six wings. With two, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew.
Isaiah 6:6, then one of the angels flew to me, and his hand was a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. So like I said, this is just meant to maybe wet your whistle a little and have you go check out some of these things.
Yeah, maybe you haven't seen some of these connections, or you've heard and you thought, wow, that sounds familiar. Where's that come from?
And like
this will give you places to look.
And like I said, if you see something that I have wrong here, let me know, because you know this was copying and pasting and scouring books and the internet and the Bible itself and looking for these references. So it's possible that
we could have transposed.
Yeah,
some
it'd be pretty easy to do, because the way I had to do this was I would take notes, and actually I did voice to text, and I would go through, you know, like one of the sources I would use was just reading the Bible, interlinear Bible that I had, and I'd read all the scriptures, and I would voice dictate it into Bible Gateway, I believe, and then I'd have to put the comma in and everything, and then I would email that to myself, and then I would go back and look up all these scriptures. So yeah, it was complicated. It took a minute.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we're talking about the four living creatures. Did we read 4:7 yet? We did. We just did it.
Yep,
a second ago.
They're all the, he has this thing with lions, bulls, people, and eagles.
Yeah.
Almost like they mean something.
Yeah. Ezekiel 1:5 says, in the center of the cloud, I saw what looked like four living creatures. They were shaped like humans.
1:10, their faces looked like this. From the front, each creature had a face of a human. From the right, each had a face of a lion. From the left, each had a face of a bull. From the back, each had a face of an eagle.
And then Ezekiel 10:14, each of the angels had four faces. The first was the face of an angel. The second was the face of a human. The third was the face of a lion. The fourth was the face of an eagle.
So let's see. The bull is missing from that one?
Yeah.
So an angel just looks like a bull, basically.
Yeah, I did notice that. That was like, is that the same thing? I don't know. And then, like we said, if you have some idea, let us know.
So that's kind of, I think some people would actually go and say that. See, well, these scriptures kind of line up. So this says it's the face of an angel. The scripture says it's the face of a bull. Angel equals bull. So be careful. Don't be careful trying to do that kind of thing. Because mm-hmm. not necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Not your average Def Leppard album cover.
I know, but it probably could be.
Yeah.
Probably could be. But, you know, the context of Ezekiel 1 there, you've got to be talking about the same thing. But then Ezekiel 10, it does jump, but everything else lines up with that. But, you know, it's definitely interesting. Like I said, you should examine it. Then Revelation 4:8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest not day and night, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Which makes me think of Michael W. Smith. You might have heard that song, but I always thought he had a pretty good, it seems like he had a song about this long, long time ago, because I'm old, Jake.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Ezekiel 1:5. I feel like we've read this verse. In the center of the cloud, I saw that what looked like four living creatures. They were shaped like humans.
And Ezekiel 1:18, the rims of the wheels were large and frightening. They were covered with eyes.
Ezekiel 3:13-14, I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of Yah was strong upon me.
And then Isaiah 6:2-3, angels were standing above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and two they covered their feet, and two they flew. And they called to each other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh Tessaboth, and the whole earth is filled with his glory," which is similar, but not exactly the same thing. But what did you say, Holy Tessaboth?
That's
Yahweh Tessaboth.
That's Yahweh of hosts.
Yahweh of hosts, which, you know, yeah. Okay.
See, it's slightly different,
mm-hmm.
but still true.
Yeah.
It's like, it's still saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Revelation 4:9.
Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, to the one who lives forever and ever.
That lines up with Psalms 47:8. Elohim rules the nations. Elohim sits upon his holy throne. Amen to that.
Amen.
And Daniel 4:34, at the end of the seven time periods, Nebuchadnezzar looked up to heaven, and my mind came back to me. I thanked, what is that?
The
Ili'ah. And I praised and honored the one who lives forever, because his power lasts forever, and his kingdom lasts from one generation to the next.
That Nebuchadnezzar, very interesting character, for sure.
Yes, this is after he was grazing in the field.
After
for a
he turned
of time.
Into a beast, right?
Yes, after he turned into the werewolf. That's a whole nother topic.
That's right. Daniel 12:7. I heard the man dressed in linen clothes who was above the river. He raised his right hand and left hand to heaven and swore an oath by the one who lives forever. He said, "It will be for a time, times and half of a time. When the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, then all these things will be finished."
And Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah saw Adonai sitting on a high and lofty throne, the bottom of his robe filled the temple. We see that. We've seen that one several times.
And then Daniel 12:7, I heard the man dressed in linen clothes who was above the river. He raised his right hand and left hand to heaven and swore an oath by the one who lives forever. He said, "It will be for a time, times half a time." I feel like I just read this. Holy people has been completely shattered. Then all these things will be finished. Hey,
yeah.
Look at that.
No, it was redundant. No, yeah, that's probably a mistake there. So,
well, go up real quick to the previous one or something I wanted to mention here.
The previous verse.
Yeah, the previous Isaiah verse. No, up another one. Yeah, keep going. Do, 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 do. Yeah, keep going. Do, 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 do.
Oh, you're
where
way
were
up
we?
There.
Yeah, how about it? I thought it, we just did it. Oh, okay. Hang on. This might be it. All right. Well, forget that tangent.
All right. Right. Maybe they'll come back to you. Where did we get? Did we get to this?
Yeah, we're at 10.
10. All right.
So the 24 leaders bow in front of the one who sits on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They place their crowns in front of the throne and say, read full chapter.
Read full chapter. Yeah, let's go ahead and read
and
that
say,
one.
Our master and Elohim, you deserve to receive glory, honor, and power because you created everything. Everything came into existence and was created because of your will.
Okay. Daniel 4:34, at the end of the seven time periods, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up. We just read that. Looked up to heaven. My mind came back to me. I thanked. Did we just read that?
Yeah, right, that's the same.
Okay. Yeah, we just read that about how his mind came back to him.
And then 12:7, the same thing we read.
Yeah. Yeah. And so some of these do go together with multiple pieces and just kind of a continuation of it. Isaiah 44:24, Yahweh reclaimed you. He formed you in the womb. This is what Yahweh says. I, Yahweh, made everything. I stretched out the heavens by myself. I spread out the earth all alone.
And then Ezekiel 3:13-14, I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures touching one another and the noise of the wheels beside them as well as a loud rumbling. Then the Ruach lifted me and took me away. I went away feeling bitter and angry. The strong power of Yahweh came over me.
Acts 14. In Acts 14:15, it says, and said, men, what are you doing? We're human beings like you. We're spreading the good news to you to turn away from these worthless gods to the living God that made the sky, the land, the sea, and everything in them. So definitely a creation theme.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that is Revelation 4. And then it's kind of broken down to this too, Jake. So this was interesting. And now I think we kind of read this all together. But
yeah.
So, but if you want a reference on it, I don't know if you want to read it or not, but Revelation 4, 1 through 10 lines up with Ezekiel 1, 5 through 27. And then also with Isaiah 6, 1 through 13. And so a lot of the readings that we, scriptures that we looked came from these two. And so I would encourage you to go through and look and see the connections that, you know, between these particular passages and how they kind of tie together.
Yep, this is it. Go down, scroll down a little bit more. So yeah, this is the Isaiah passage I was looking at. Verse 8, then I heard the voice of Adonai saying, who will I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. That's the attitude. I mean, this guy's awesome.
Yeah, this guy gets it.
He does, and it's fantastic. It's such an encouraging, you know, powerful verse because, you know, you look at, it kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier about, well, if Yahweh needed someone, he would just pick the guy and send him, right?
Yeah.
Because of his sovereignty. But then the free will kicks in too, and Yah looks around, and like there's a verse that talks about, you know, I looked around at who would stand in the gap, and I found no one. No one would fill the gap. Here Isaiah is saying, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And that's what he's looking for, people that are willing to be his hands and feet. So yeah. I love that verse. It just gets me amped up.
Yeah, Jake, did you want to, so be good broadcast? We appreciate it, the comments that they've been giving, and they had one here about the bowl vessel.
Oh, that was when we were talking about the angel and versus the bowl, but it was bowl as in the animal, not bowl.
Oh, okay.
My bad pronunciation.
Gotcha.
It's that the Pennsylvania, you know,
Pennsylvania
accent.
Dutch.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania Dutch, I think. What is Pennsylvania Dutch from?
The Dutch.
History? Pennsylvania Dutch Company or something?
Yep.
All right. So, and then also.
I think it's oatmeal.
I think that's William Penn. Yeah. So then it talks about the four living creatures, which we talked about that. And I feel like we read a lot of scripture there. And I don't know that we want to read all that again. But Once again, if you just joined us, you can find all this on sabbathlounge.com. There's a section under teaching portions, and then if you click around, you'll find Revelation, and this is Revelation chapter 4, the throne room. Speaking of the throne room, we saw that, and then the four living creatures lines up with Ezekiel 10, Revelation 4, 1 through 10, and Daniel 7, 9 through 10 all seem to be talking about the same thing, which is pretty interesting, because I think if one is going to tackle Revelation, you need to see how it ties to these other scriptures.
Yeah, definitely.
And the more we see that, the more we understand it. And Jake and I are certainly not claiming to say we've got this all figured out. We're just saying that...
hey, there's some connections here. Go check it out.
Well, and we wanted to put a common platform where you could see some of these scriptures together. And like right. I said, but please, if you find flaws with it or something wrong, let us know. You know, we don't want to have things that aren't right there, and it is a work in progress, but... Anyway, next time we do this, we'll probably do this live again, but we don't have a set schedule on this, and we'll go to chapter 5. And so to get to chapter 5, you just click there, and it'll take you there. And so also, I don't have to scroll all the way up. I think I put a home. You can definitely just go back there to the beginning, and that'll take you to the home. We may have to do the control minus to make this smaller.
Oh, yeah, it's gigantical.
So... there we go. So, but once again, that's how you get there. And of course, we have, if you've never checked us out, first off, we want to thank you, the people that were here. So I've got a couple of comments here. Be good broadcast. Been listening to the podcast for years. Much appreciated. Glad to catch one live. And so,
yeah, we kind of just started doing the live thing and,
yeah.
You know, it's pretty fun to do. So,
yeah, we like having some interaction. That's fun to kind of, you know, we appreciate the interaction of, you know, hearing what other people have to say to you.
Right.
So, and we'll check out Be Good Broadcast as well. So he's also got a podcast, or she, I don't know.
This person.
So we appreciate you being here and your comments. We stream this live on Instagram, YouTube. Where else, Jake? I don't know.
Facebook.
So hopefully you caught it on this, but it also will be, this will be put out. You'll be able to view this in YouTube when we're finished here at any time. So,
right.
We plan on doing this again. And so we appreciate you following us, liking, subscribing, leaving us comment, leaving us feedback. Any questions, if you have prayer requests, we'd always be happy to pray for anything that you want us to pray about. You know, before we get off here, if someone has a specific prayer request, we could definitely lift you up real fast before we go.
Yeah, and if anyone has any topics you'd like us to cover or anything like that, go ahead and stick those in the comments as well.
Yeah.
And we'll check it out.
All right. Doesn't look like we got anything else coming in here. So, but we appreciate every person that could be here this evening, and we hope and pray that this only glorifies the Father and points to Him. And we want to point to His Scripture, and that's where it's at. And don't listen to us.
Yeah, we can mess it up.
Yeah, we're just people. We're just dudes. And go read the scripture for yourself. And, you know, scripture says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we firmly believe that. So, yes. But we appreciate each of you that have stopped by. And we're going to go ahead and sign off. This is Matt.
And Jake.
Signing off. Well, here we go. We got one more.
Keep it up and let the Father lead you onward. Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for the encouragement.
Good broadcast. Yep, appreciate you. All right, well, we'll talk to you later. Bye.